Yes, we are.
April 8th, 2019. Can't believe the year is already almost halfway over.
Yeah.
When I was clearing the folder to record this episode, it was us talking about Christmas Eve. And I don't cycle through folders that fast, really. But episode 128 on April 8th, and we're going to talk about the man who's predicting the end of the world.
When I was a kid, I remember just these Nostradamus movies and documentaries used to scare the shit out of me,
because
they made them all creepy like and everything. It was unsolved mysteries type shit. It made me fascinated by prophecies.
Uh huh. So we're gonna talk about the man who's probably the most who would be the most famous prophet. Isaiah
You have your biblical prophets, but then you have Nostradamus.
Nostradamus.
It's pretty much what you got. So. We're going to go ahead and got a list of his top 10. We'll go through them and see if we agree, or if we think that he really did predict these things. So
sounds good to me, because we've also can go kind of back to our references on Revelations too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was a fun series back in the.
Yeah.
See, God, it seems so long ago. Yeah. All right.
First, the old business.
Okay. On this date in 1906, August Dieter, the first diagnosed Alzheimer's patient, dies. Strange. I mean, obviously, medical technology and diagnosis and stuff. A lot of times people just get old and start getting addled. But the memory loss and all of that kind of culminated in an actual condition, a disease. The first diagnosed patient passed this date in 1906. In 1916, race car driver Bob Berman crashes his car, killing 3 and injuring 5 more at the Motor Speedway in California. We don't talk government here. We don't talk politics.
We try not
to. It's part of a movie or just kind of current events or whatever.
Yeah.
Even though current events are constantly current. But anyway. But anytime somebody proposes they're going to do something, and it's like, obviously, it's like, oh, that's unconstitutional, or you can't do that, or that's not government's job, or blah, blah, blah. Imagine this. Imagine the day they announced this. 1943, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt freezes wages and prices across the nation, and he makes changing jobs illegal, unless you're changing a job that will directly affect the war effort. So if you're an accountant that's going to go to work for a steel mill, then he'll let you. But otherwise, if you're just like 90% suicidal with your dead-end accounting job and you just want to, go open a bakery,
tough.
Can't do it. Federal law.
Could you imagine the uproar now? I'm sure back then it wasn't nearly as bad as it would be now.
Yeah.
Social media would explode.
Mm-hmm.
What would be funny is the people that are loyal to the party in power that would be defending it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what would crack me.
Immediately. But that's frightening, dude.
Yeah.
You can't fire somebody, but you also can't go get a new job either. So, like, everything's just stuck. All right. On this date in 1945, when an air raid accidentally destroys a train with 4,000 concentration camp internees, the survivors are subsequently massacred by the Nazis.
Jesus.
That was unlucky train to be on.
No joke. You survive. Okay.
Yeah.
Lucky you.
Alright. Notable births on this date in 1918. Betty Ford. Most popular for the Betty Ford Clinic.
Clinic. Yeah.
Where you go get dried out if you're a celebrity. And then you go on Oprah. 1964 rapper Biz Markie.
Nice. He's fine.
So, my buddies in Thunderpants, the band that I used to be in, they did a mini tour with Biz Markie.
Really?
Yeah. Which is weird because they played like 80s heavy metal, or not metal, but 80s like dance hits and stuff. And
right.
Like he was a more or less a producer. I mean, he's a one hit wonder, but he's more of a producer yep. and a DJ than he is an actual, like, you know. Anyway. But Terrence was like, yeah, he was kind of a jerk. Like, okay. It's like okay, you go like little micro three city tour with a, you know, pretty famous dude, and that's, what's your feedback? You know, like 2 of 5 would not do again. And on this date in 1966, Princess Buttercup, Robin Wright. Notable deaths on this date in 1973, Pablo Picasso. And it's kind of a slow news day. So okay. That is it for old business. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Next, Sylvester Stallone is Rocky, an award-winning film by John Avildsen, showcased in the Cinemax Director's Chair next.
What if a man who's been dead for over 400 years accurately predicted the assassinations of John and Robert Kennedy, and also predicted the rise of Hitler, Napoleon, and even the Ayatollah Khomeini?
Was he a quack, this Nostradamus? A charlatan? Or was he a true prophet, a man with a gift to see what others cannot see? I'm going to let you judge for yourselves.
In The Man Who Saw Tomorrow.
There's no TV like Cinemax.
Those were some wonderful words from our sponsors.
Always. We always enjoy the words from our sponsors. Okay, Mr. Gomez.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
All right, so we have had the release of the trailer for the upcoming season of Stranger Things, the third season, which is the highly anticipated third season. I've been waiting for a while, but it will be premiering July 4th on Netflix. Trailer is full of emotion, reintroducing our favorite characters, all of which aren't kids anymore. It looks like all the fun of a summer-themed movie with a twist of horror. Just wait till you see the evolution of the Demogorgon. So check that out. Get ready for it. We do have some new characters coming in. You just mentioned this new business, but Carrie Elwes, who was known for Princess Bride and Saw, will play a character named Mayor Klein. And one of my favorite additions, I think this is cool, but Jake Busey from Starship Troopers.
Nice.
He'll be in it, playing a character named Bruce. So that's,
what do you bet Bruce is a bad guy?
Yeah, or, pretty sure asshole.
Yeah, he might be a good guy, but.
So yeah, we'll be having season 3 of Stranger Things here pretty soon, and the trailer does look like it's just going to take off right where it left off. So that is exciting. Just found this interesting: a Houston woman. Named Thelma Chiaka. She gave birth to 6 children in 9 minutes. That's pretty damn impressive, dude. She gave birth to 2 sets of twin boys and a set of twin girls between 4:50 and 4:59 a.m. on a Friday at Women's Hospital of Texas in Houston.
Wow.
Yeah. Babies weigh between 1 pound, 12 ounces, and 2 pound, 14 ounces. All 6 are in stable condition. Yeah, I thought that was pretty great. 9 minutes, dude. I can't make grits in 9 minutes. She had 6 kids. Interesting bit of news. Of course, we've talked about Jack the Ripper before. And they feel as though they have finally been able to identify him through DNA that was left at the scene as a Polish barber. A blood-covered shawl was found at one of the horrific murder scenes. It's believed to contain the DNA from both the victim and the infamous serial killer. As we all know, Jack the Ripper stalked London for more than 130 years ago. He had a taste for human flesh. Yeah, we've gone over his story more than once. The shawl was found from the scene of the murder victim, Catherine Eddowes. Where are we at? Researchers at Liverpool John Moore University conducted genetic tests on the sample long thought to have belonged to Ripper himself. They now believe it to be a man named Aaron Kosminski from Poland. They found matching profiles in the same piece of evidence from some of his family. So, yeah, so they think that they have discovered the identity of Jack the Ripper. So we'll see where it goes.
So that's an interesting theory, but I think there's a problem with it. I think it might be flawed. First of all, people didn't bathe a bunch back then.
Uh-huh.
And Catherine Eddowes was a prostitute. So I'm pretty sure there's quite a bit of DNA floating around all over the place that might may or may not have had anything to do with specifically that event.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But this isn't the first time that DNA evidence has pointed to this gentleman as the potential killer. So this they just feel is more conclusive.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll update and see where that goes. All right. This is science we're about to get into right now. According to science, hard rock and heavy metal actually invokes joy and not violence.
I could have told you that. Dirt.
Okay. According to a psychological study conducted by the music lab of Macquarie University, fans of metal music have not been desensitized by violent imagery. Professor Bill Thompson of the Australian University, he conducted the study. Studying the emotional effects music has on listeners, he revealed that hard rock and heavy metal fans are nice people that do not feel compelled to commit acts of violence of any kind. They simply find joy in listening to heavier music. Test recruited 30 to a total of 80 metal fans who listened to death metal and a pop song while looking at some emotionally contrasting images. One image would show scenes of violence, while the other images were innocent and neutral, known as binocular rivalry. Whenever a participant sees a neutral image in one eye and a violent image in the other, they often pay attention to the violent image more. Depending on the music, two songs they used, Bloodbath's Eaten and Pharrell's upbeat song Happy. Point of the test was to examine how much each of the participants' brains paid attention to the violent images over the pleasant images during the music and how the music affected their level of sensitivity. So, essentially, listen to metal music, they concentrate more on the
happy images.
Listen to the happy, concentrate more.
That's an interesting sort of way to control, because, like, I'm a fan of metal, but I don't like all metal,
yeah.
Right? So if you come in and you're like, hey, we're going to throw on, you know, call it like Sepultura or something like that I enjoyed when I was younger, that I'm familiar with, that I like, versus here's something you've never heard before, you may or may not like it, you're just kind of like, go away, it's there, you know what I mean? Like, that's an interesting way to control it, because like that happy song, I don't like that one.
Right.
You know?
This article that I found, it has probably what may be the laziest choice of a name for a city I have ever heard in my life. In the state of Acapulco, there's a village called Kilometro 42. I'm assuming that means kilometer 42. So it must be somebody saw the mile marker sign and said, that looks like a good name for this city. There's a baby Jesus statue that is believed to be crying tears of blood, and locals think it's a message from God. This is the fourth time this statue has cried blood, the latest being in February of 2019. The statue, which locals say is the baby Jesus, has appeared to start crying blood, and they believe it's a sign from God. According to local media, the first time the ceramic statue, which is kept in a private residence, cried blood was on New Year's Day. Residents believe that the statue is expressing unhappiness at the soaring crime levels in the borough, which has an average of 111 murders for every 100,000 inhabitants.
Damn.
There's a picture of the crying baby Jesus statue. Looks like somebody spilled coffee on its face. Local resident told reporters, a lot of people have said that this is being done by the devil, while others believe that it's a message of God. Truth is, we are convinced that it cried even when people were holding it. Residents also claimed they did not want to carry the statue to church for verification because they're scared of removing it. An unnamed priest said that representatives of the Catholic Church will investigate the claims to make sure no one is taking advantage of devotees. and in one of the most Captain Obvious statements I've ever heard, he also admitted that there could be a rational explanation because not everything is a spiritual phenomenon. No shit.
Yeah, don't think. But you have to go look at it first.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to go test it and everything. Maybe they take blood samples and see if the DNA matches Jack the Ripper or something.
Right.
Well, that's it for new business. That's
well, have you heard of the 69, or not the 69, the Florida Man Challenge?
Yeah.
Where you Google your birth date.
Yeah. And
like, that's like taken off. It's like, remember when we did all the Florida Man articles from episode 69?
We didn't even do all the ones we could have done.
No, we could have done another hour. But it looks like everybody else is jumping on the Florida Man bandwagon. And then finally, like apparently, I don't know if it's a petition or a poll or just a fan theory, but everybody thinks that Thanos is going to be defeated by Ant-Man going up his ass and then expanding.
We had heard a while back about why doesn't he go in his ear and do the same thing, but yeah, the ass one is a new one. But I don't think Marvel will be taking that path.
No. Well, there was somebody did an animation where it's like all of the different ways that Thanos could have been defeated. It's like it was. I don't know if they did it through with a video game or whatever, but yeah, where you know Thanos is standing there like, and Doctor Strange just like opens up a thing around his arm and like closes it, so it cuts off. I'm like, done. We got the gauntlet, and you know that kind of stuff. But one of them that was very much it. Ant-Man goes, flies into Thanos' ear, and then just turns into Giant Man, and Thanos' head explodes. Also, there was one of the funnier ones was whenever they're trying to pull the glove off.
Yeah.
And Iron Man's telling Peter Quill to stop, to not hit him when Quill's getting pissed.
Yeah.
And Quill rears back to punch him, and Iron Man kills him. Like, blasts him. It's like, you can't stop, you know, like, we have to get this glove off this guy.
Yeah. So. They weren't friends anyway.
No.
They had just met, so.
Yeah, they were not getting along. So. All right, well, that's enough for new business. We will be right back with some scary predictions.
The final mission to save mankind has failed. The 70-mile-wide asteroid known as Matilda is set to collide with Earth in exactly 3 weeks' time, and we'll be bringing you our countdown to the end of days, along with all your classic rock favorites.
So, feel free to wear your casual Friday clothing pretty much any day of the week. And if anyone wants to be CFO. Anyone?
So, what are you doing with the rest of your life?
Catching up on some me time, find God, maybe move around some chairs.
Maybe I'll run into you on orgy or something.
Well, that sounds nice. Listen, Elsa, you don't have to come next week or ever if you don't want to. It's okay.
You fighting me?
There's just no need. Forget it.
See you next week, Mr. Dutch.
I regret my entire life.
Okay.
Bye. Bye now.
We should set up Dodge with Karen, don't you think?
It's everything I never wore.
The sky is falling.
I've been with a different girl every day. They don't care about diseases. Are you going to call them back? Or are you related?
You know?
No, I don't. I don't. Hello? You okay?
No! I'm never going to see my family again.
Would you like to come in?
I won't steal anything if you don't kill me.
Agreed.
Who's the girl? Is she the one that got away?
Well, they all got away, but she was the first, yeah.
Let's go find her.
We need to go, right now. If you drive me to where I need to go, I can get you to your family.
Luckily, I'm getting my midlife crisis in just under the wire.
Hi, welcome to Frenzies, where everyone's your friend.
I can't believe you guys are still open.
And do you know what? It's his birthday today.
Why didn't you tell me that? Happy birthday!
No! Oh, God! Yeah, we should go.
We can't be serious.
How fast are you going?
15 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Given the... Couldn't you find it in your heart to give my friend here a fighting chance of being with the one he loves before we all reach our untimely conclusion?
No.
All right.
Here we are.
Story.
Okay. Well, this particular list are the top 10 ones that people feel as though have come true that the great Nostradamus predicted. Of course, Nostradamus is a famous prophet that people feel as though his writings have predicted the future, pretty much. I wish I had some background on Nostradamus. I guess I should have picked that up back through the years and everything. But he lived from December 21st, 1503 to July 22nd, 1566. He was a French apocryphalist and reputed seer who published collections of prophecies that have since become famous worldwide. He's best known for his book, Les Prophéties, The Prophecies, the first edition of which appeared in 1555. Since the publication of the book, which has rarely been out of print since his death, Nostradamus has attracted a following that, along with the popular press, credits him for predicting many, many major world events. He's pretty much the beginning and end of prophets. He is the man. Okay, number 10. The Great Fire of London. His exact prophecy regarding that. The blood of the just will be demanded of London, burnt by the fire in the year 66. Blood of the just will commit a fault at London, burnt through lightning of 23s the 6th. The ancient lady will fall from her high place. Several of the same sect will be killed. Okay, this is pretty much straightforward. Great Fire of London was a major conflagration that swept through the central parts of the English city. From Sunday, September 2nd to Wednesday, September 5th, 1666. The fire gutted the medieval city of London inside the Roman city wall. It threatened but did not reach the aristocratic district of Westminster. Charles II's palace was safe and most of the suburban slums. It consumed 13,200 houses. It is estimated that it destroyed the homes of 70,000 of the city's 80,000 inhabitants. So it was a pretty big fire. But it was one of the many things that he predicted. It was pretty...
The numbers were pretty straightforward.
Yeah, yeah. It's also felt as though, at number 9, he predicted the French Revolution. From his writings, from the enslaved people, songs, chants, and demands, the princes and lords are held captive in prisons in the future by such headless idiots. These will be taken as divine utterances. Before the war comes, the Great Wall will fall. The king will be executed. His death coming too soon will be lamented. Guards will swim in blood near the river Seine. The soil will be bloodied. Of course, French Revolution ended in 1799. Was a period of radical social and political upheaval in French and European history. The absolute monarchy that ruled France for centuries collapsed in 3 years. French society underwent an epic transformation as feudal, aristocratic, and religious privileges evaporated under a sustained assault from liberal political groups and the masses in the streets. Old ideas about hierarchy and tradition succumbed to the new Enlightenment principles of citizenship and inalienable rights. So that's interesting. Do you think that, from what he said, do you think he predicted that revolution? Because there's no dates given or anything like
no
that.
No dates, but, I mean, well, that's the thing about prophecies is...
It can be interpreted one way or another.
A lot of things can be interpreted or whatever, you know. You don't have to, like, give exact dates, but... The weird thing about, like, Nostradamus is so many of his stuff is in quatrains and translated and stuff. So it would be a little bit difficult to say specifically... If it's one thing, if he's like, okay, this is going to happen, then this, and it, like, lines up in a timeline, kind of like whenever we did the Revelations. Like,
yeah.
One of the things about Revelations that we found was difficult to try to quantify...
It jumps all over the place.
...is that it kind of jumps all over the place and doesn't give a straightforward timeline of what's supposed to happen.
Yep.
So that way, so many different interpretations. And one of the things in Revelations, for example... is the idea of the tribulation between the okay, so what's supposed to happen is, or the way that it's laid out, if you go to church, whatever, is that God's going to call all the faithful home in a physical rapture, and then everybody else is going to be left on earth to just deal with what's left.
Right.
But then everybody who's still faithful is going to go through all of these trials and tribulations and persecution and torture and murder and death and all kinds of stuff. So then you ask the question, well, if they all got raptured, who are these people that are going through the tribulation? Well, the timelines don't don't stack properly, and so it's very difficult. So it's all open to interpretation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, really and truly, if you are a Christian and you you got two ways you can go. It's either going to be really easy or really hard. You know. Same thing with like the Notre Dame stuff. It's like, well, he could have been talking about the French Revolution. He could have also been talking about the Russian Revolution. Or, because pretty much the same thing happened in different ways. Multiple different kinds of revolutions that have happened where governments have been overturned.
Yeah.
You know, so even in the United States, you know, our revolution. So.
Right. Well, another one of his predictions at number eight has to do with the rise of Napoleon, the famous French king. The quatrain reads, Paul Ney Lauren will be one, will be more of fire than of blood, to swim in praise, the great one to flee from the confluence. He will refuse entry to the piouses, the depraved ones, and the durance will keep them in prison. What's interesting about this one is people feel as though this is one of the more obvious ones, is because the letters used in Paul Ney Lauren would rearrange becomes Napoleon Roy, or Napoleon Bonaparte. So they feel as though he actually directly named Napoleon Bonaparte in this particular one. One of the most famous emperors of France, this quatrain Nostradamus mentions about the rise of Napoleon. It describes Napoleon as more of fire than of blood. The Piouses of the third line, or the Popes Pius the Sixth and Pius the Seventh, who were both imprisoned by Napoleon, as it is implied in the last line. So that's one of the ones that...
It's straightforward.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward and to the point. Okay, this is an interesting one, but people feel as though he predicted the Louis Pasteur, which is interesting. The quatrain reads, lost, found, hidden for so long a time, the pastor will be honored as a demigod. Before the moon finishes its full period, he will be dishonored by other winds. Okay. And the way that people have kind of taken that quatrain into a prediction. Louis Pasteur was a French chemist and microbiologist born in Dole. He is remembered for his remarkable breakthroughs in the causes and preventions of diseases, of course, as we all learned in school. His discoveries reduced mortality from puerperal fever, and he created the first vaccine for rabies and anthrax. His experiments supported the germ theory of disease. He is best known to the general public for inventing a method to stop milk and wine from causing sickness, a process that came to be called pasteurization. He is regarded as one of the three main founders of microbiology. This is one of the big ones that people talk about all the time. Of course, they say he predicted the rise of Adolf Hitler.
Of course.
And the quatrain reads, from the depths of the west of Europe, a young child will be born of poor people. He who, by his tongue, will seduce a great troop. His fame will increase towards the realm of the east. Beasts ferocious from hunger will swim across rivers. The greater one will cause it to be dragged in an iron cage. And the Germany child will observe nothing.
It's pretty straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward. And most of his predictions, you know, it's kind of a thing where people look back on it and say, wait, he was talking about Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it they're prophecies, but because of the way that they're left to be interpreted, you can't really say what exactly he's talking about. You got to wait for it to happen.
Right.
It's not like we can go ahead and... It's not like with this quatrain, we could have stopped Hitler.
Right.
You know what I mean? The beast in the quatrain is interpreted as Adolf Hitler in the German army, crossing over to capture France. He was an Austrian-born German politician and leader of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, commonly known as the Nazi Party. He was Chancellor of Germany from 33 to 45 and served as head of the state as Führer and Reichsfuhrer from 34 to 45. Hitler is most remembered for his central leadership role in the rise of fascism in Europe, World War II, and the Holocaust, of course. So that's one of the, definitely one of the more prominent ones that he's had. And most of his predictions are sad. Definitely. He wasn't the most optimistic person in the world.
Right.
You know, he predicted horrors, you know, bad things that were going to happen come. As far as the ones that have come true so far. You'll see what happens beyond that. Excuse me. They say he predicted the Second World War. And the quatrain reads, the two greatest ones of Asia and of Africa from the Rhine and Lower Danube, they will be said to have come, Christ's tears at Mata and the Ligurian side. Prediction of the Second World War and the rise of Hitler is one of his greatest predictions of all time. World War II was a global military conflict lasting from 39 to 45, which involved most of the world's nations, including all of the great powers, eventually forming two opposing alliances, the Allies and the Axis. It was the most widespread war in history, with more than 100 million military personnel mobilized. In a state of total war, the major participants placed their entire economic, industrial, and scientific capabilities at the service of the war effort, erasing the distinction between civilian and military resources, marked by significant events involving the mass death of civilians, including the Holocaust, and the only use of nuclear weapons in warfare. It was the deadliest conflict in human history, resulting in 50 million to over 70 million fatalities. That's just an astounding number.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot, dude.
It is a tremendous amount.
That's populations of a large state. You know, it's crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. They say that he also predicted the atomic bombings. Near the gates and within the cities, there will be two scourges, the like of which was never seen. Famine without plague, people put out by steel, crying to the great immortal God for relief. This quatrain has been interpreted as, this is clearly a description of plague and famine causing much death, not nuclear attack. In order to make this fit, people often translate it abominably. One example is line 3, which can be found to be rendered thus, intense in torment, an incredible portion of human lives ended. The only possible connections could be steel, but in the time of Nostradamus, this is more likely have meant weaponry of some sort. This is one that is kind of questioned.
It sounds more like the communist uprisings in Russia and China.
Yeah.
Because plague, famine, murder.
Right.
Most of those people were shot. You know.
This quatrain. I'll read it and see if you can guess what it is. The great man will be struck down in the day by a thunderbolt. An evil deed foretold by the bearer of a petition. Another falls at night. Conflict at Rhines, London, and a pestilence in Tuscany. That is said to be the prediction of the death of the Kennedy brothers.
Why would the death of the Kennedy brothers have anything to do with the Rhine River or Tuscany?
Let's see. JFK, the 35th president of the United States, was assassinated at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on Friday, November 22nd, 1963, in Dallas, Texas. He was fatally shot while traveling with his wife, Jackie, Texas Governor John Connally, and the latter's wife, Nellie. The assassination of Robert F. Kennedy took place shortly after midnight in Los Angeles, California. In the same year of 1963, students rioted in the cities of London and Paris, and also there was a huge flood in Florence in 1968, which led to fear of a plague and pestilence in the city.
All right, well, there you go.
That's how they tie it in. Okay. Number two. We're getting towards the end. Penultimate of the surname of Prophet will take Diana for this day and rest. He will wander because of a frantic head and delivering a great people from subjection. I think that's the prediction of the death of Princess Diana.
Okay. Just explain why, because that doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. The penultimate of the surname of Prophet, okay? Diana, Princess of Wales, of course, died as a result of injuries sustained in a car collision in the Pont d'Alma road tunnel in Paris, France. Her boyfriend, Dodi Fayed, was the son of a person named Mohammed, and the driver of the Mercedes-Benz W140. Henry Paul, they were all pronounced dead at the scene of the accident. So I guess the name of the prophet comes from the name of, An 18-month French judicial investigation concluded that the crash was caused by Henry Paul, who lost control of the car at high speed while under the influence. This one I think is kind of a stretch, but
Diana wasn't actually, I mean, she was technically a princess, but she was a commoner.
Yeah.
She never had any claim to any throne.
Right. This is one of the biggest ones that, and one of the more recent ones, the most recent one that they say has come true. But the quatrain reads, volcanic fire from the center of the earth will cause trembling around the new city. Two great rocks will make war for a long time. Then Arethusa will redden a new river. In the year 1999, in the seventh month from the sky, will come the great king of terror, bringing back to life the great king of mongrels. Before and after Mars to reign by good fortune. That is, of course, people feel as though that was his prediction of 9/11. Mention of New City, Center of Earth, World Trade Center, and the towers is somewhat believed to be related with the 9/11 attacks. Arethusa is believed to be another anagram used by Nostradamus, which may connect to Laden, as in Bin Laden. On that morning, the plane hijackers intentionally crashed two of the airlines to the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, killing everyone on board and many others working in the buildings. Both towers collapsed within 2 hours, and of course, a very long war commenced shortly after that act of terror. So that one, kind of question that one to see if it's possible.
All of these things are difficult to say, and then you've also got to think again with his, if he's having visions, there's no way that he could understand this stuff,
right?
If he actually had a dream and saw 9/11 happen in his vision and wrote it down, there's no way you're going to be able to describe what you saw,
right?
You know, steel towers that are that big, and airplanes and all of that stuff. Like, what are you describing? What's the best? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So I just saw a whole bunch of stuff crash.
Saw big fire and everything.
Yeah. It's hard to say, man. Prophecies, predictions, that kind of stuff. It's always subjective.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But when I was a kid, like I said, the way it was presented on shows when I was a kid, it was just really creepy.
Yeah.
And it was like Weekly World News. You had no reason not to believe it.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, like you say, his book's never been out of print. It's always been in print. And everything, it's like you can, the only thing, the questions that I have, and it was always one of those things, it's always like the fly in the ointment, is, sure, he's got some that predict certain things, but he's got a lot that, do they predict anything?
Right.
And if, are they mundane things or the stuff he's talking about, you know, totally different?
Right.
So it's just kind of hard to, and if I'm stumbling over my words here, it's like we're in my garage. I've got this weird audio effect from the houses next to each other. Things that are happening like a couple hundred yards away sound like they're happening right next to me, and it's making me paranoid for like no reason. I just keep hearing, but like you hear a car door open like 2 feet next to you, and there's not supposed to be a car there. It's like, makes you turn your head. So, how about yourself? Do you believe in Nostradamus?
Yeah, I do. Just because it's something I grew up with and believed in it as a kid, and just like Weekly World, like just like I think Bigfoot is real,
right?
You know,
those are the sorts of things that whenever I was a kid, like I was fascinated with that kind of stuff. I never read a lot of I never read his actual words. I read stuff like that where it's like, you know,
interpret it for you.
It's like, oh, well, this is when he predicted Hitler. This is when he predicted Napoleon, or whatever. But the same thing, like we went back, you know, into Revelations and talking to, like, everybody wants to make everything the Antichrist, right? Like,
he's Donald Trump and everybody.
But he's got to fit a certain mold.
Uh-huh.
And the frustrating thing about the Antichrist is you're not going to know who he is until he, like, you're not going to be able to stop him.
Yeah.
Right? You will know who he is afterwards, but it says right there in the predictions, like, he's going to have all of these different qualities. But most people have those qualities.
Yeah.
most people are pretty nice guys and pretty charismatic until they get shot in the head or, you know, sustain an assassination attempt, and then they turn mean.
Yeah.
Like, but you won't know that until after he's already in power, right? Like, you're not going to be able to pull him down and be like, oh, that guy. Like, no, you know what I mean? So a lot of it's interesting, but I don't know that it really serves to, like, warn. Like, what can you do? Like, it's like you just said, Hitler's going to rise. He's going to be, you know, a great leader born of poor people. Like, oh, you're going to go kill all the peasants?
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to pull a King Herod or something, you know?
Like, you can't stop it. You just got to wait for it to happen.
Yeah. Then you see it, and you're like, oh.
That's what he was talking about.
Like, damn. Saw a thing. Somebody tweeted, like, on Steve Irwin's birthday. And it's like, yeah, it's like the time, got the time machine. It's like, ah, I finally built the time machine. You got one shot. You can go in time. It's like, are you going to go back in time and kill baby Hitler? He's like, nope. I'm going to go out and be like, sorry, guys. You can't swim with the stingrays today. He's like, sad Steve Irwin's like, all right. But yeah, where's the prediction on the Crocodile Hunter?
Yeah.
Didn't tell us about that. Come on, Nostradamus. Well, that was a quick little... Brief little run through hundreds of years of history.
Yeah.
But, you know, not bad. Not
bad. It happens.
I enjoy some Nostradamus. So, short, little shorter episode, but no problem. We will catch up with you next week, and it'll be episode 129. So, until then, keep it scary.
Later. But I know now that it wasn't meant to be.